Welcome to Giant Cocktails, a podcast where two lifelong fans talk about the San Francisco Giants while drinking homemade cocktails. Now, here are your hosts, Ben and Matthew Henry.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Giant Cocktails Midweek Review, where we mix baseball banter with a splash of the finest spirits. I'm your host, Matthew, curveball connoisseur Henry, and joining me as always is the man who once orchestrated a three-team trade for the last lemon twist at the bar, the undisputed Sultan of Stirrers, Ben Bourbon Baron Henry. Today, we're shaking up some midweek madness with hot takes on the latest games and a special cocktail that is as surprising as a no-hitter. So grab your glove and your glass because Ben's got a lineup that'll knock your socks and possibly your coasters off. Let's dive right into the action. How you doing, Baron?
Where does one wear their coasters exactly? I have a few ideas, but this is a family show.
I am not a curveball connoisseur. I just want to just put that out there right now. Yeah. I that's the whole reason why I don't play baseball. I couldn't hit a curveball to save my life.
Right, right. Well, you're the first person who ever said the words pitch shape on this show. So, you know, I mean, if anybody's like going to be into the curveballs, it's you. It's you.
Okay. All right. I'll take that.
And I want to talk about that trade, that three-team trade that I did for the last lemon twist. I gave up a whole bottle of Campari and I still don't regret it. You know,
that's a win. That's a win.
All the pundits are all like, oh, that's like one of the worst trades ever. Look at this, blah, blah, blah. So many Negronis. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't care about your all-star team of Negronis. If you want to be the Los Angeles Dodgers and just have a Negroni in every position, then be disgusting.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah, you were the Farhan and the Campari was Joey Bart. And, you know, you got your wish. That's right.
No matter how good it was.
Exactly.
I didn't want it. You know, I had my own red colored liqueur. It might just be fruit punch, but
it's your fruit punch.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what though. I'm glad my fruit punch has stopped spiking the ball in the dirt and has finally started to throw some runners out.
Amen.
Oh man, he took down my boy Jazz and then gave him the waggle, the finger waggle.
That's right. The Dikembe Mutombo kind of thing. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. I was like, if you're going to finger waggle anybody, it's got to be Jazz, right? Because Jazz can't complain about anything.
That's true.
But anyway, we're on a short time frame today,
midweek review. So, Sultan of Stirrers, what are you drinking today?
Oh, well, this is the surprise cocktail. This is the one that's going to knock your coasters off.
Or something.
Yeah. Today, folks, thank you for asking, Matthew. I don't know if you asked. You did. Today, folks, I'm drinking a cocktail that I'm calling the Drunken Monkey. Yes, I named it after myself. What does it have in it? Well, it has 1.5 ounces of Smith and Cross rum. Why 1.5 ounces? Because that's when the bottle ran out. Then it has 2.5 ounces of Plantation 3 Stars rum. It has 1 ounce Banane du Brésil and 2 dashes of chocolate bitters. Combine the rums, the banana liqueur, and bitters in a mixing glass with ice. Stir to your desired dilution. If you're really crazy, you don't need to do that at all. Then you strain it into a rocks glass, add a large chunk of ice, garnish with a copious amount of Luxardo cherries. And copious means at least 3, or you're a cheap monkey or a curmudgeon monkey, and you don't deserve to be a drunken monkey, and that's what I'm drinking today, the Drunken Monkey.
All right. Well, that sounds actually really amazing, and if we were on a cocktail show, I'd ask you more about it, but we're not, so moving on. I am drinking a cocktail that I stole from the famed bar Death & Co. called Gilda. What's in Gilda? Well, it's 2 ounces of Blanco or Reposado tequila. Tonight, I'm rocking the Reposado. 1/2 ounce of pineapple juice, 1/2 ounce of lime juice, and 1/2 ounce of cinnamon syrup. You combine all those into a shaker with ice, and you shake it for a good 10 to 12 seconds, double strain it into a coupe glass, and garnish it with a lime wheel or a pineapple wedge if you want. It is a sweet and lovely, almost tiki-esque drink. And that's what I'm drinking today, a Gilda.
Radnor.
That's all I thought of when I was, hearing
that. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I guess maybe we should go over what we're going to talk about today, Ben. So the Giants finally won a road series. And we can't be more excited than that, right? It would have been nice if we could have swept the road series, considering we were playing the Marlins. But, you know, the Giants finally got a win. A win. W-I-N-N. Win.
That was kind of the secret to the win.
It wasn't
the huge amount of runs they scored.
No. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that today. Then we're going to talk about something that came to me during the middle of this series, specifically in game 2.
Yeah.
When I realized that my role on this podcast has always been the optimistic one.
Correct.
I am the one that provides the optimism. You're the curmudgeon.
That's right.
Who maybe doesn't put enough cherries into his drink. And right now I'm feeling rather curmudgeonly, and the optimism is waning, Ben. So we have to talk about that today.
We do. We really do.
Because I don't feel like I'm the only one. I feel like there are probably others in the same boat. Mm-hmm. And then we'll finish it with a little lightning round of some various topics that may or may not come up. All right. Well, today is Wednesday, April 17th, as we record this podcast. The Giants are 8-11, currently in fourth in the NL West. I do want to point out, though, over the last 10 games, we have a better record than the Los Angeles Dodgers. So there's that.
That's right. The Los Angeles Dodgers pitching is in shambles right now.
Oh, that's too bad. And then the Padres, who have had a pretty good the last 10 days, sent you Darvish to the IL today. So they may also have some pitching problems as well.
Matthew, yes. I don't like to take pleasure in other people's injuries. That's just...
No, it's not, that's not just, a kosher thing to do.
I just feel so bad for them. You know, it's like...
Yeah, have another sip of that drink. Anyway, the Marlins, we play the Marlins this week. We went 2-1. And like I said, got our first series, a road series win. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, Ben, the Giants got a much-needed win this last 3 games in typical Giants fashion.
It weren't pretty.
And last episode, we started to talk a little bit about runs scored and the average runs scored. The Giants are in the bottom half, but not too far from average. But I actually tallied up over the last 19 games how many times they scored more than 4 runs, how many times they scored less than 4 runs, and how many times they scored 4 runs.
Okay.
And the numbers won't surprise you. We scored more than 4 runs 4 times.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
We've scored exactly 4 runs 6 times.
Wow.
And we've scored less than 4 runs 9 times. This is where you channel your Ferris Bueller's mom and say, 9 times?
9 times?
Nine times, Mr. Henry.
There was this old movie that I really enjoy called Defending Your Life. It was kind of obscure and not very popular, but it's got Meryl Streep in it. And it's the whole concept as he goes into the afterlife. And then they review, they pick the number of days to review of your life. And you go on trial to decide whether or not you're a coward or not. That's basically what it is.
That was a good movie. That was a good one. I like that one.
And the more days that they look at, more of a coward you were. Like, the more you sucked at life, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the main character in this thing is they're looking at 9 days. And it is, it's like 9 days. There's one point he goes to a dinner and the guy casually, that waiter, who's super gregarious, asks him, how many days are you looking at? And he goes, he doesn't know. He doesn't know at this point how bad that is. And he says, 9. And the waiter goes, ooh. That was my response, Matthew. That was my feeling when you said 9 games that they've scored less than 4 runs. The Italian afterlife waiter in me went, oh, I mean, 9? 9?
And we averaged less than 4 runs those last three games, and we managed to win two of them, which I feel like is that's going to be our MO, right? I mean, that's just the way it's going
to
be.
That's the way this team has got to win. I mean, we said it at the beginning of the season. It's one thing to like know it's coming. It's a very different thing to actually be in it. Pitching and defense is what this team is good at. And it has to be good at those things because this lineup is just not explosive. It's just not explosive. It is not going to guarantee give you like four runs per game or anything near that. It is sputtering. It is slapdash. It is random, right? Because it can score seven runs. Right? I mean, Matt Chapman hits lots of home runs. Jorge Soler allegedly hits a lot of home runs. And then, of course, you got Wilmer. Wilmer doesn't play much, but he can also hit home runs. And then you got Lamont Wade Jr. So you got all these guys who can hit home runs, but not very often. And they can come in bunches, like five in a game, you know, when you're right in Tampa Bay. But then, like, very few in Miami. And so, I mean, but that's the thing. That's how this team is going to win. If this team is going to win, it's going to win like it won on Monday and it won on Wednesday today as we record this podcast. Those are the kinds of victories that this team needs to have. It needs to steal victories when its team can only score three or four runs.
Agreed. And yeah. As far as a Monday's game, I think what was unusual was that they had a late game comeback. I mean, we actually scored runs late, and I haven't dug into the numbers on that, but it just feels like once the Giants are behind, the game's over.
Well, that's interesting because they don't score runs early, like at all.
They just don't score.
They just score runs. Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. I think we figured it out, Matthew. We figured it out.
Those are the numbers, folks.
Nine games where they haven't scored. You know, and just to remind you, they played 19 games, right? So you said how many games? The four games they've scored four runs?
Yeah, four games they scored more than four runs.
Well, how many games did they actually score exactly four runs?
Six.
Okay, so six. So you're telling me then, Matthew, is that 15 out of their 19 games they have scored four or less runs?
That's what I'm telling you.
And yeah. I believe the league average for runs scored per game is above that.
Yeah, it's 4.5, around 4.5.
Yeah, so there you go. There you go. And that's why you're 8-11. I mean, that exactly. Like I said, not necessarily because this pitching staff is very, very good. And the pitching staff is very, very good, so this team should perform well, even when it doesn't score lots of runs. But I mean, it is getting to the point though where when the opposition scores five runs, you know the game is over. Like if the
especially
opposition,
if you're down by more than two.
Well, whatever. No, I mean, it's just like if the other team reaches five runs, the Giants are going to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, statistically speaking, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not just a little true; it's a lot true. I mean, they're outscoring you by a run at that point or more. Yeah, that's pretty brutal. But Matthew, I mean, when you're in a situation like that, you got to find other ways to win. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes. Yeah. And I mean, part of that, the pitching has been improving. Both starters on Monday and Wednesday did a great job. And even the bullpen is starting to gel. We're starting to see the roles taking place and their Giants are getting creative in the way that they use their relievers, like not getting them warmed up and then just sneaking them in, the old hidden closer trick.
The hidden closer trick. Yeah. Yeah. We saw that debut on Monday and that was impressive. I thought that was very, very clever. I wonder how long Bo Mel and Taylor Rogers worked on that bit because that was quite impressive. I mean, I can't imagine if you're an avid Giants fan at this point that you don't know what happened on Monday. But just to refresh everybody's memory, on Monday, the Marlins had a situation where they had a couple of runners on base and Taylor Rogers was warming up in the bullpen and Bob Melvin goes out and he calls for
the right-hander.
The right-hander. And there is no right-hander warming up in the bullpen. So Taylor comes out. And at that point, the umpires wave him back and say, no, that's not who he wants. He wants the right-hander but there was no right-hander warming up. It turns out there was a communication breakdown between the bullpen and the dugout, and the assistant pitching coach, who was moonlighting as the bullpen coach, didn't get the right people up in the bullpen. And so Bomel thought Camilo was up. Allegedly? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We'll never know. But to make a long story short, the Giants pulled a fast one on the Marlins, and the umpires of that crew, just including Laz Diaz, just totally let them do that. I mean, it was like Keystone Cops out of there. And, like, you know, I just kept hearing, like,
my favorite part of that was how Taylor Rogers sure took his time getting back to the bullpen. Like, he stood behind second base, yeah. You know, like where the second baseman stands.
A long conversation with the umpires.
Yes, and meanwhile, was it Skip Schumacher or whatever his name is, for, you know, the manager of the Marlins, comes out and he's apoplectic. Right.
I could hear him, Matthew. I heard him in my house yelling, and the TV was on mute because I could hear him all the way from Miami. That's how loud he was yelling. Yeah, I was almost mad for him.
He had valid points. And at the end of the game, I mean, he basically told reporters, my only issue is why didn't he start the count at least a 1-0 count, which is totally true. Like, why didn't he? Camilo has been flagged for a ball to open up a count numerous times since the pitch clock has started.
Whatever.
But not this one? Like, the one where he literally wasn't even warming up? He doesn't get a pitch clock violation, which was pretty crazy.
Well, that's because Bomel and Taylor Rogers just did their whole bit. I mean, Taylor was out there. He was like, oh, wait, what? No, I really wanted pitch. Because he knew that Camilo wasn't up. And he's like, I got to drag this out. But anyway, I love the whole thing. You know, what I loved
so
most...
So entertaining. This is more entertaining than we would have gotten out of Kapler. I'm telling you. Like, this was... although it was kind of Kapler-esque, you know, I mean, it just felt like, you know, that somebody screwed up and we're used to seeing that.
Yeah. That is the kind of screw up that stepdad would do. But, you know, it was just amazing because it just always feels so relieving when it's your team getting the break, you know, and yes, I just couldn't believe it.
You're like, right. That's a good point. That's a good point that the Giants... It's really weird to be on the good side of those calls.
Right.
It seems like we're never on the good side of those calls.
Right. And that's exactly right. I mean, just it feels that way because, like, I think a lot of times, you know, things haven't been going well and it just feels like everything's going against you. But you know what you can do, Matthew, when things aren't going your way? Is you got to find ways to win, you know?
Yeah.
You got to
be scrappy.
That's right. You got to be scrappy. You got to be dirty. You got to do new things. You got to try the hidden closer trick. You got to scrape and claw. You have to do whatever you can to make sure that there's enough runners on base when your ace in the hole, Nick Ahmed, comes up to hit so that you can actually score some runs.
Exactly. And Ben, you know, the word scrappy. Mm. Scrappy's not too far from crappy. I'm just saying.
No.
And maybe this is a good segue into the next segment of my waning optimism.
Oh yeah.
I take my role seriously. Mm. I have been like the Farhan, like, cheerleader. I've been like, yeah, we're gonna come back. This is great. All the moves are good. I have been the one that has been just beating that drum about how the Giants are gonna be good. And I noticed that I'm not feeling quite that way anymore. And I'm a little sad by that. And there's lots of examples of why. Uh-huh. You know, the Giants have runners on second, third, and no outs, and they score one run. And it's like a typical Giants rally, you know, is one run when they have multiple runners on base.
I don't think that's a typical Giants rally. I think a typical Giants rally is they score zero runs. They load the bases with nobody out, and then they score zero runs. Although, maybe you have me on semantics there, because maybe a rally requires one run.
That's where I was thinking.
Okay,
yes.
Got it.
A rally means that you actually score.
Okay, yes, you're right. I was getting to the point where I was letting them just getting runners on base, calling that a rally, because that's as close as we can get these days.
Exactly. And then you bring in a guy, you know, then on the bullpen side, you bring in someone like Nick Avila. You're only down by two and he gives up two runs immediately or whatever. It's just, there just seems to be...
Nick's going
to
give up a run. Nick's going to give up a run.
He is going to give up a run. And I don't blame him. He's been put in a situation. He was on the 40 man. They needed him. You know, he's not the one that should be there. But at the same time, it doesn't make for fun baseball to watch. And I'm just, I don't know how to be optimistic about this. And the only thing that I can think of is that, you know, better, they have to play better than that they've played. And I'm, that's what I'm holding on to, because at some point they have to, it may be too late.
They have
to. But, you know, I don't know. We talked a little about this on Monday, you know, with the, at some point you're going to, you know, we're going to look back on certain months and be like, man, maybe we missed the playoffs because of a bad stretch. And it's hard to watch this team and think that they're going to win any single game that they play.
And you're wondering why you can't continue to, because you've been doing this for 2 years, right? Like, I mean, 2021, yeah. You lost
your
mind.
Well, this is our fourth year.
No,
right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Year. I'm saying you were really excited about Farhan coming in because you're like, finally, we got this nerd, and nerds are great.
Yeah.
And
go nerds, and then, man. I just, yeah.
2021 happened, and you were like, oh my gosh, the nerds, they solved all the problems. Nerds rule the world, and the Giants are just going to turn into a dynasty. And then ever since then, it's sort of like been a regression to the mean, which I know is a nerd term. But, you know, sometimes nerds think they're the smartest man in the room, and it turns out they're not.
Sometimes they're not?
They're not, yeah. Because, you know, you're in the room with the Dodgers. and I get that. I get that. I think the reason, Matthew, why your optimism has tanked so much is because you have built up this idea in your mind of things finally going your way. Like, you have this picture of what you want, and then you don't get what you want, but you're kind of like, okay, well, we're making progress. And then finally, all of these things happen that make you think you have achieved it, right? What happened, Matthew, is in the offseason is you were dealt pocket aces. Okay?
I got the hand that I wanted.
You got the hand you wanted. Okay, let's say you got ace king unsuited, okay? It's not the best hand in the world. It's not quite pocket aces, but you got Matt Chapman and you got Blake Snell, right? Matt Chapman's the king. Then you got Blake Snell, a legitimate ace, and you're like, ooh, what a good hand. Well, Matthew, I used to play poker professionally, and one of the reasons that I quit was because I couldn't come to terms with the fact that improbable does not mean impossible.
Right.
Okay. And the fact of the matter is that just because you got dealt a great hand before the flop does not mean that you're going to win the hand. And your expectations were so high, and then they come bumbling and stumbling out of the gate, and it's just been a total letdown. And that can be really demoralizing, right? They've just looked so flat. And you can see so many holes, and a lot of the holes are like, oh, this will get better. But some of these things are like, no, I don't, you know, there's no reason this lineup should be explosive, right? You don't look at this lineup and be like, oh, it's so good, and they're just underperforming. I'm like, no, Matt Chapman's a 200 hitter who occasionally hits home runs.
Yeah.
Soler's a 230, 240 hitter who should be hitting a lot of home runs but isn't. Right? We don't know who Jung-Hoo Lee is quite yet, but do you think he should have been dropped to the three spot, Matthew? Is that how good he's been hitting in the number one spot? Because the last two games, Bomel has said, this is my best hitter, and he might be right.
Well, he's got a 9-game hitting streak. He probably is their best hitter at this point. But, you know, Ed, you're right, though. I think you go back to, like, the Fangraphs when they do their, like, statistical, like, you know, projections, and they do 1,000, you know, simulation games, and they come up with a record. And this year, the Giants are supposed to win, like, 86 games or whatever. Well, in that simulation, that's the median, right? And then, like, but then, like, 30% of the time, they lose, like, under 81.
That's right.
And
30%
and so,
of the time.
Yeah. So we could be in that simulation there,
right?
You know, it's possible. And that's where my optimism is like, oh yeah, there's a good chance that this is the team that we're playing, that we are.
Yeah. See, this, like, I'm not as upset as you are. right?
Yes, because you see, that's the joy of being the pessimist, is that you're not disappointed right. when bad things happen.
Right. It's kind of like the under-promise and over-deliver, right? Like, I'm on the opposite side. I'm on the recipient side. Like, I just assume that people are going to be bad so that when they're good, I'm overjoyed. Right.
Yes, that's my problem my whole life. And I'm not just like this as a Giants fan. I'm like this as a normal person.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're kind of having a therapy session right now. We're kind of talking about baseball, but we're also kind of talking about life, you know?
Like
here's the thing. Like, here's what I also want. Like, I've seen a lot of people being like, oh, this team can't play this well, this poorly all the rest of the season. And I'm like, says who? Okay, like, I believe this team can be good, and I really do believe in the pitching and defense. I believe that if this team does win, it's going to be confounding and frustrating and aggravating and nerve-wracking all year long if this team wins 86 games.
Agreed.
It's going to be, you're always going to feel like you barely won whenever you win.
And you're always going to feel like you barely lost when you
lose.
That's
right, so. Because you're going to be like, oh, we should have, you know, we went 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position. and that's just the way this team is built, and that's the way it's going to be, even if it's good. But, you know, at the same time, just improbable doesn't mean impossible. And that's how life works, man. But you got to embrace the positive. You got to embrace things like the hidden closer trick.
It's time for a lightning round.
All right. It is time for a lightning round, though. And Ben, I don't have a lot of lightning round topics, but I do want to cover a couple of things. One, Eric Miller is growing on me. I don't think he was even scheduled to be the lefty in the bullpen. And now he's hitting 100 on the gun.
Nobody was scheduled to be the second lefty in the bullpen. Taylor is the
first. Regardless, that's irrelevant because Eric Miller is dealing.
He is.
And I think, you know, he's this year's Ryan Walker. You know, the guy that maybe you didn't know a lot about. And who is now coming in into crucial spots. He's certainly earning trust from Bomel. And today he had 100 on the gun. How many lefties do you see that do that? I mean, that's crazy.
That's one. I've seen one. I mean, I know others can do it, but that's the one that I've seen. I will put him up there with Landon Roop to be this year's Ryan Walker.
Yeah, okay, fair.
I'm really excited just by the progress that both Miller and Roop have made. So, like, I think the back end of the front end of the bullpen, the part of the bullpen that we see when we don't want to see the bullpen, is really coming together. Like, I think Miller and Roop have really demonstrated themselves as being long-term solutions. You know, and then when Luke Jackson comes back, as long as he keeps the rubber ducks down, you know, then I think suddenly we're down to a situation where we've only got one question mark, and that will either be Kaiwei Tang or Nick Avila.
Yeah, and then when Cobb comes back, then you even solve that depending on who gets moved to the bullpen. So I think Eric Miller is a key part of this equation, and it's been exciting to see him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, one more thing on the lightning round, Ben.
Right, okay.
And this is just pure, like, just insanity on my part. But I was scrolling through Instagram the other day and I came across a John Boy video that was asking name players that have two first names. Now, you and I have two first names.
Well, between the three of us, we have three first names. This is true.
We actually have
five first names because of our middle names.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, when Ben and I fill out a form that has last name first name second, middle name last, we confuse the hell out of people. But I want to go with that, Ben. Can you name Giants players with two first names? Ready? You go one and I go one. We go back and forth.
Okay. Lamont Wade.
Okay, good. I'm going to go with Will Clark.
Oh, we could go old timers?
You can go old timers too.
Okay,
yes.
I've never forgotten this guy. Doug Henry.
Yes, that's the one. I'm going to go a little bit Spanish, and I'm going to go Stan Javier.
Ooh, nice one. I'm going to go male name, androgynous name, girl name, boy name.
Okay.
Patrick Bailey.
Okay. Yeah, that counts. Mm-hmm. I'll count that. All right. I'm going to go, going back to World Series heroes, Cody Ross.
I'm going to go with Giant who hasn't become a Giant yet.
Oh, who's that?
Robbie Ray.
Yes. All right. All right. All right. Last ones. I'm going to throw out one. I'm going to go all-time giant great Jeff Kent.
Kent?
Yes.
Oh, this is my new boyfriend, Kent.
Okay. Yeah, I can see it.
Kent Clark. Yeah. You know, there's.
Did you just say Kent Clark? Did you just say that? You know, I'm editing this show, right? You know that's going in.
You're not going to cut that out, right? You don't edit any of the things that I want you to cut out anyway.
No, so that's right. Because, you know, I've got to look smarter and more handsome than you. Wow.
All right.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Last one for you. What's your last one?
Got it. Zhenghu Li.
I don't even know how to respond to that. I feel like that's wrong, but I'm also feeling like I don't know enough to say that's wrong. There's plenty of guys out there named Lee. Yeah, how many? Yeah, that's true. Okay.
What are you asking me, how many Zhenghus there are? Do you want to go down that path?
No.
Yeah, that's right. Moving on.
All right. Well, that's all we got for today on the lightning round. Looking ahead to next week, or actually this week, looking ahead to tomorrow, the Diamondbacks come into town. We have played four games against the D-backs. The Thursday starter is Logan Webb against Ryne Nelson. I feel like that's an advantage. Giants.
I feel like
right
that's the game
the
we should win, but you know, how often do we say that with Logan and it doesn't happen?
Yeah, some guy you never heard of is going to like two hit the Giants. I get it, but that's the one that we should
win.
Logan Webb won't get any runs. It'll be like that. See, this is my optimism waning. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Friday though, Ben, Friday.
Wow.
Jordan Montgomery versus Blake Snell.
Wow.
This is the Scott Boris sweepstakes game.
No, this is the game.
Well, I know that Jordan Montgomery fired.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, well, what box is he going to sit in? Well, he's definitely not. He's not getting tickets from Jordan because Jordan fired his ass.
And rightly so.
Right, because he was like, Jordan didn't get a job until after the season started because Scott was too busy trying to get Blake a job.
Yeah. And I think that Jordan, this might be his first game. Right?
This is his first game. Yeah, this is definitely his first game. Yeah.
And then Saturday, we got Zach Gallen,
who the Giants have struggled against, versus
TBD. And then on Sunday, we have Merrill Kelly, who has also been one that we've struggled against TBD.
Oh, man.
And I want to know, why don't the Giants just say that it's Harrison and Hicks? Why do we have to be like TBD like that? Like, well, it's Harrison and Hicks' turn in the rotation.
Well,
I don't know why.
Well, maybe they
just
know that we suck against Gallen and Kelly, so they're just going to throw Tyler Fitzgerald and Kai Wei Tang out there to pitch.
That's right.
You know, and then they're just going to let Harrison and Hicks pitch the next two games because it doesn't matter who faces Kelly and Merrill. I mean Kelly. Whatever. Yeah, whatever. I don't care.
Oh, two first names.
Those two Diamondbacks who always just nuke the Giants, and I hate them because they're just, the Diamondbacks should never be good.
That's true. All right. And finally, I like to end with famous players that have played for both teams or prominent players. Of course, there are lots to choose from. Randy Johnson, Madison Bumgarner, and Matt Williams. And Wilmer Flores.
Wow.
We forget that Wilmer played one season with the Diamondbacks before he signed.
Yeah. I'm the only one of these that I like, the only one that doesn't make me angry is Wilmer. All the other ones make me angry.
Yeah, because they shouldn't have gone.
No. Madison should have never been a Diamondback, and Randy Johnson never should have been a Giant.
But he won his 300th game with the Giants.
And Matt Williams has only ever been a Giant. I don't know why people say things like that he wasn't.
That's true. I don't know why we.
Some people
bring up
say
this.
He played in a World Series for somebody else.
No, that's just blasphemy. That's just the booze talking.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. He's been coaching third base ever since he retired.
All right, folks, I try to move us along and get us in there in 35 minutes, and we're running a little long, so I'm going to wrap this up. Don't forget to follow us on the socials, at Giant Cocktails, on the platform formerly known as Twitter, on Instagram, on Threads, and Mastodon, where we put up our recipes, and especially on the platform formerly known as Twitter, you can chat with us during games and see my hilarious takes. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already, and rate and review if you like our show. It really helps. All right, Ben. Well, until Monday, when we break down the Diamondbacks series. It was good chatting with you. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers, Matthew. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
I'm supposed to say the goodbye. God damn it.
Thank you for listening to the Giant Cocktails Podcast. Until next time, bottoms up.
Don't interrupt me. I'm drunk.
I kind of want to have what you're having. I'm going to go and like scrounge and make a facsimile.
Just overproof rum?
Yeah, I've got some rum. I don't know how much. I have to go look and see what my rums are.
The secret to my cocktail, Matthew, was a lot of alcohol.
Yes. What's the secret? Not so secret. I think we got that.